Not only is the Barber of Seville coming to town, and with me is David Grabarkowicz, Executive Director of the El Paso Opera, to tell us all about that, but we're also having Desiree Mays, who is considered the resident speaker and storyteller for the Santa Fe Opera since 1995, coming to town. And she is coming to us from her home in Santa Fe. Welcome, Desiree.
Hello, Monica.
It's very nice to have you join us.
It's great to talk to you.
Yes. Now, how did a good Irish girl end up becoming such an expert in the opera? Tell us the story.
You have 45 minutes. Well, first of all, I needed to get out of the rain in Ireland, so I moved to Santa Fe. Where
that would do it.
The sun shines all the time. Well, I started out, actually, life as a ballet dancer in London and did a lot of ballet, actually, with the opera ballet. Mm-hmm. And then when I got carried off to Salt Lake City and an American husband could no longer dance and decided I'd get involved with opera. The Utah Opera was just building. This is in the early 70s. And I got involved with that in every conceivable way, shape, and form. I had a radio show. I ran speaker seminars. I was involved with production. We did a lot of promotion. And I told a lot of stories. I come by that, honestly, I think, with my Irish genes. So, opera is about storytelling, you know, in two ways. I mean, you tell the story about the piece and about, and that's actually good for everybody who goes to any opera to know what the story is about ahead of time, because it's usually so convoluted.
It really does help.
Mm-hmm. And the other way, of course, is from the music. And once you have the basic story down and you know who is related to who and who loves whom and who hates whom and what's going on, and then the music will do the rest. You know, it's about the music. The music tells the story in its own way.
But it's so nice to be able to relax and really enjoy. And in this case, the El Paso Opera's production of The Barber of Seville will be at the Abraham Chavez Theater this coming Thursday, March 14th, and Saturday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. But tell me what happens at 5:30.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Desiree and I met at the Santa Fe Opera. When I took the job as executive director here in El Paso, I wanted to renew my relationship with Santa Fe Opera. And Desiree and I just hit it off. And Desiree up there does the same thing she'll be doing down here in essence, which is giving a preview talk during a dinner for the patrons who are about to see the opera, give them a bit of a taste of what the show is all about. I find her talks at Santa Fe Opera to be truthfully enlightening, fun, funny, and wonderful.
Yes.
And we'll be doing these talks on the promenade level of the theater, along with dinner and dessert. And it's a sort of a perfect way to begin the evening, a great date, to begin the evening learning a bit about the piece you're about to see. In this case, a terrific comedy that doesn't let you down for 1 minute. And then go to the show and then even join us afterwards.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful way to begin. Yeah. You don't spend your time trying to squint at the notes during the program.
And I think you arrive in a sort of a rested state. You start your car, you're not in a rush, you have a nice meal, and you hear a little bit about the opera.
That's true.
And then arrive prepared. I think too many of us just, we're so busy these days, we just fly to the opera, get to our seat before they close the doors, and then wonder why we're really not getting the most out of it.
You are absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, tell me a little bit about The Barber of Seville. I never knew that the Futile Precaution was the alternate title, or that it is not only an opera buffa, but it is considered one of the greatest.
Yes, absolutely. It's by Giacchino Rossini. Rossini was an extraordinary man who wrote an extraordinary number of operas, often when he was riding across Europe in a carriage behind horses. And today we saw a jet set about, but he did it in a horse and carriage, writing some of these operas in the carriage, the story goes. And The Barber of Seville was his 17th opera, and he wrote it, Monica, at the age of 24.
Goodness.
Wow.
It was also apparently something like 600 pages of score that he composed in 15 days.
That's it. I'm getting a horse carriage and taking
right.
some.
Oh,
yeah, it must be good for for inspiration. So it came to a fairly early on in his career, and in those days you would be sort of assigned an opera to work on. You didn't have, the composer didn't always have a say in that, and assigned a librettist, so the two of them then would quickly get to work to make the most of this piece. This piece was very interesting. The Barber of Seville had been written by a Frenchman in the mid-1700s, Caron de Beaumarchais. He wrote three incredible plays, The Barber of Seville, and then The Marriage of Figaro, and then The Guilty Mother. It's called La Mère Coupable. You don't often hear about that now. But it's about the same, sort of, it's like Barber of Seville Part 1, 2, and 3, because they're the same characters in each. And Beaumarchais was sort of a fixer. He was a man who wasn't of the aristocracy. He even sold arms, apparently, to the Americans for the Louisiana Purchase.
Oh, my.
he crossed all sorts of borders. He lived and survived the French Revolution, remembering that this all happened before the French Revolution. And the figure of Figaro, which is the central character, mm-hmm. certainly the first two operas, is really sort of a stand-in for Beaumarchais himself. He was a man who fought the system. He sorted things out. He fixed things. The Barber of Seville is a surgeon, an apothecary, and a barber. I mean, imagine mixing all those.
We're talking a Da Vinci type here.
With a little more, perhaps, humor.
Oh, I don't know. Da Vinci might have told a good joke.
He might have done, though his work's a little serious when you stand in front of them. They make you think a little deeper, perhaps, than Figaro would. But the point of Figaro was, I think, that this man at this time was, you know, he had the temerity to show a servant who was questioning the aristocracy. And he really makes the aristocracy look a little foolish, because he's the bright one and the one who gives them all their comeuppance. He engineers this plot with Rosina, who is mm-hmm. a young 16-year-old, wonderful young woman, who is literally trapped in a house. She's the ward of Dr. Bartolo. For some reason, he is her guardian, taking care of her. He's also managing her vast dowry, which he doesn't want to give up. And he has plans to marry her. And, of course, she hates him. This is a 16-year-old who wants a life. And when this young student comes serenading outside her window, she falls instantly in love with his song. I mean, she doesn't know what he's like, but there he is as a student, and she's sure he has a great future. She doesn't know that it is the Count Almaviva in disguise. And that's where the story starts. It goes through all sorts of shenanigans and marvelous, humorous events through the course of a couple of hours with the most stunningly beautiful music. It's very easy music. It's called Bel Canto, which means literally beautiful singing, and to be able to carry off these roles. It's really demanding for the singers. This may seem a simple piece, The Barber of Seville, but there's many principles, and they have to literally shelve their egos and all work very closely together, or the whole thing falls apart. And
well, that leads me to ask about the lead roles, Figaro and Rosina. Mm-hmm. I suspect that, David, you have once again tapped your cast of...
We have an amazing
talent,
cast.
Yes.
In fact, after I announced it on the web, I got calls from across the country going, wow, rock star casting for Barber in El Paso. We actually have a change of cast in the lead role, now being played by David Pershall, who comes to us from the Metropolitan Opera. And Vanessa Caridi is starring. You see her picture all over town, wielding a razor. Vanessa has a spectacular career, started her career. Her very first solo role ever was at the Metropolitan Opera.
Oh, my.
And follow that with Matthew Chellis and one of the great mezzos in the world coming to sing the Maid Berta, Melissa Parks. The cast is amazing. And we have so much fun in rehearsal, Monica.
I can't imagine.
Every day in rehearsal is going to an episode of Laugh-In.
I can believe this. I can imagine what the struggle is to stay in good voice when you're laughing so much all day long. I suspect there's a perceived threat there to the vocal quality, but you bring in the most amazing talents. And here's another one. Desiree, I do love the accent, I have to say. It does make everything you have to say more charming and interesting. You're just a delight to listen to. My guests today, Desiree Mays, the resident speaker and storyteller for the Santa Fe Opera, coming to share her wit and wisdom with us in a pre-opera presentation at 5:30 both Thursday and Saturday. That's March 14th and 16th at the Abraham Chavez Theater, where you can dine and relax and learn before you enter the opera at 7:30. And we are so looking forward to your visit. And David Grabarkowitz, Executive Director of the El Paso Opera, thank you yet again for bringing an amazing production to El Paso. Tickets run between $20 and $90, very affordable. You can get the information or purchase tickets at epopera.org or through Ticketmaster. David, Desiree, thank you so much.
Monica, thank you for having us.
See you there.
All right. See you at the opera.